Thank you very much, brother. Kids, come on up. Oh, I love that enthusiasm. Man. Do your parents run that way? Does the folks or grandparents run that way? Fast. All right. Now, I know that I'm asking this question a little bit early, but who among you plans to get married? Oh, Josiah! What's that? Oh, you plan to get married?
No.
No? Uh-oh. There's a dispute. What about you, Anthony? You plan to get married? There's a no. We're going to have to do some talking here.
Not in a long time.
Not in a long time. How about eventually?
No.
No. Well, things change over time. Things change. All right. Well, what do you think? Does God, if you had, say, A or B, all right?
Okay.
Oh, there might be a C. A, God commands that you must get married. Or B, God commands you must never get married. Or C.
A. I'll go
there. He goes with A. What do you think?
MS can get married.
What can get married? Who can get married?
Nana.
Nana can get married. Well, we need to find a man for Nana. What do you think?
C.
Oh, C. What do you think C is?
Everybody can get married.
Everybody can. So if everybody can get married. Okay. What do you think?
I think C. God lets us pick our own choice.
Where's that child's parent? That's some good parenting. Way to go, Becca. Very good. Very good. She already got it. She already got it. It's C. It's C, actually. You said C first? You know what? Who's got children's church today? See if they have a prize for you. I'm putting you on the spot. The prize will be a high five. All right, let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for these kids, and thank you so much for David and Marilyn being willing to lead them today in children's church. We thank you for Jerry and Wanda and others who help out in that ministry. Father, we do pray that these kids would come to know the truth and to know it well. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Off you go. Way to go. Good job. You going to stay with me? You going to preach? Eventually.
What are those for?
Oh, you'll see later, maybe. All right, let's open our Bibles together to 1 Corinthians 7. And, you know, I am very, very thankful to God for my fellow elders, for Jerry and Ann. Now, for many, many reasons, I'm thankful for them. But a few months back, probably, I don't know how many months back, a while ago, before I ever thought about preaching through 1 Corinthians, I asked Dan and Jerry, where do you think we should go next? We believe very firmly here in preaching through the Bible, verse by verse, book by book. And they both said, we think you should go into 1 Corinthians. And I didn't say anything, but my first response, had I spoken, would be, no, I don't want to go there. Part of the reason was chapter 7. But you know what? Today, when we finish, I'm going to sigh a big sigh of relief. Chapter 7 is difficult. It's about marriage and divorce and remarriage and being single. And it's kind of heavy. And it's kind of sensitive. And it's also not so easy to understand. There are hard things here. But you know what? I am so thankful that God, through them, had us go through this book. It's a great book. You can't go wrong. Everywhere in Scripture is good. But I know that God has his reasons for why we're studying this. And today, the message is on and for Christian singles. It's about Christian singles, and it's for Christian singles. But what you're going to learn is there are truths here that we all need to apply. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 25 through 40. Now, as you know, I often will take a verse or two or three or four. Well, this one is 16. So let's jump in. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord, in his mercy, has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, Such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. Indeed, he does have the Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit of God who speaks to us here through Paul concerning, verse 25, concerning virgins. Virgins were and are just what you think. And it was and is a proper way to speak of Christian singles, since virgins is what they are to remain until marriage. This concerns Christian singles. And what I want you to see is that the Spirit here gives a handful, that would be five, a handful of truths that have first application in this context to Christian singles, but as I hope you will see, they pertain to all of us. Five truths concerning Christian singles. These are given in order that we would all be on the same page. Paul has not left his first and fundamental goal with this letter, and that is that there would be unity in the church. The church at Corinth had written a letter to Paul, and Paul is answering their questions, and there was disagreement. There was division. And even over this question, should a single person get married? And probably like the kids, some would say, A, you must get married. And some would say, B, you must not get married. That leads us to the first truth. To marry or not to marry is a matter of Christian liberty. To marry or not to marry is a matter of Christian liberty. Look at verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord. No commandment from the Lord. Does that surprise you? That should not surprise you. For many matters in the Christian life, many issues, many decisions, for many things, we have no commandment from the Lord. Where should you go to high school? South. Central, Centennial. I have no commandment from the Lord. Where should you go to college? What should be your major? Where should you work? What career should you pursue? What should you do with your Saturdays? Even that one. I have no commandment from the Lord. For these and many, many other matters in the Christian life, even important ones like whether to marry or not to marry, I have no commandment from the Lord. To marry or to remain single, important as that decision is, Paul says, I have no commandment from the Lord. Which means, please listen, all of you, which means, please listen, Christian singles, you have both the freedom and the responsibility to decide wisely. The way of God is the way of wisdom. You see, in Christ, we are not under the law of Moses. We are under what's called grace, which does not mean do whatever you want. It does not mean everybody can do whatever's right in his or her own eyes. It means we have liberty, Christian liberty, the New Testament calls this. We have liberty, about which Paul will have much to say, because many decisions in the Christian life are this way. They are decisions not between what's lawful or what's not lawful. They are decisions between what is good and what is better, between what is wise and what is wiser still. You have the freedom and the responsibility to come to a firm conviction before the Lord and then make your decision about where you're going to go to high school, where you're going to go to college, what your major is going to be, what you're going to do with your Saturday, and whether or not you're going to marry. Now, the decision of whom to marry, is that complete liberty? No, because a Christian is not to marry a non-Christian. Other texts would teach you that. But whether or not to marry another Christian of the opposite sex, that is a matter of Christian liberty. What you need then is wisdom. You need the wisdom, the judgment, the counsel of someone whose judgment can be trusted. The rest of the passage is Paul's judgment on this issue, and he can be trusted. So he says, verse 25, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment, I give counsel, as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy." And here it is, Paul's judgment on the matter. This is the second truth. The first one, to marry or not to marry, is a matter of Christian liberty. Second truth, good for a man to remain as he is because of two reasons. Good for a man to remain as he is, same applies to a woman. Good for a man to remain as he is because of, number one, the present distress, and number two, because of trouble in the flesh. Now that takes us from verse 26 all the way down to verse 35. Paul is going to state that, and he is going to explain these two things, the present distress and trouble in the flesh. And for those two reasons, he says, good for a man to remain as he is. Verse 26. "I suppose, therefore, that this is good." Stop there for a moment. Good, Brother John Rouse would tell you, means beautiful, but beautiful for a reason. Good, beautiful for a reason, these two reasons. It's fitting and it's profitable. Profitable. Good because it's fitting to these times and because it's profitable, it's good for a man to remain as he is. Now, last time we looked at verses 17 through 24. What does that mean? To remain as you are means to keep on serving Jesus Christ in the circumstances God has already given you. That's what he means. We looked at that in detail last time. It's good because of the present distress and because of trouble in the flesh, good for a man to keep on serving Jesus Christ in the circumstances God has already given him. Don't try to change your circumstances. It's not the circumstances that matter. It's keeping the commandments of God in the circumstances you're already in. That's what he means. Verse 26, "I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is." How about an illustration? Verse 27, "Are you bound to a wife?" That does not mean, are you married? I can't believe people interpret it that way. Who's he talking to? Singles. What's he talking about? Singles. What does he mean, are you bound to a wife? In those days, if you were engaged, that's what we call it today, if you were betrothed, you had given your word to take a certain Christian woman to be your wife. You were bound by your word to marry a woman to be your wife. He says, are you bound to a wife? Are you engaged? Are you betrothed? Have you given your word? What does he say? Verse 27. "Don't seek to be loosed." This is good news for Jordan and April. Don't break off the engagement. You've given your word. You've given a ring. Hey, You know what? In Paul's day and in the first century, if now my young son were to break off his engagement with his bride-to-be, which we would stand against you because we like April a lot, that would be considered divorce. Engagement, betrothal, was so binding that to break it was considered divorce. Paul says, look, are you engaged? Are you betrothed? Are you bound to a wife? Hey, don't seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? What does that mean? Doesn't mean are you divorced? Are you not betrothed? Have you not given your word? Are you free? Right? Don't seek a wife. But Paul, what if I do find a wife? Verse 28. But even if you do marry, I know, you might, maybe you don't even seek a wife, but you find one. Even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Now he's going to explain. The truth is this. You know what? Christian single guy, Christian single gal, good, fitting, profitable for you to serve Jesus Christ in the circumstances that you are in right now. And don't worry about trying to change your circumstances. It's not your circumstances that matter. It's serving Jesus that matters. Why is that good? Why is that fitting? Why is that profitable? Two reasons. Number one, the present distress. He introduced that in verse 26. Number two, trouble in the flesh. He introduced that in verse 28. He's going to explain the present distress in verses 29 to 35. Now, before I read those verses, 29 to 31 is the present distress. In verse 26, when he says, because of the present distress, the word for distress in the Greek, ananke, is the word for need. Very consistently elsewhere translated need or necessity. However, if the need is so great, if the necessity is so great, then it blends over into distress. But he's talking about a present need that is very great. You'll see this word again in verse 37, and in your Bibles it's probably translated necessity. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart having no necessity. Same word. You'll see it again in chapter 9, verse 16. Familiar verse to us, if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. So the first reason for why it's good for you to keep serving Jesus in your current circumstances is the present necessity, which is so great that it could be called a distress. As I read verses 29 to 31, you think about this. What is the present need? Verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep should be as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice should be as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy should be as though they did not possess. And those who use this world should be as though literally not using it to the full. Not using it to the max. Why? Because the form of this world is passing away. I don't know if you got it or not, but here's what it is. The present need is for Christians who will keep on serving Jesus Christ no matter what their circumstances are. That is the present distress. The need is for even those who have wives to be as though they had none. What? Are you saying I should neglect my wife? No. Are you saying I should be like a single guy and go out and find another one? No. Are you saying I don't have to live with my wife in an understanding way? No. This does not contradict all the commandments that Christ gives to husbands. To love their wives as Christ loved the church. To live with their wives in an understanding way. To honor them. What is he saying then? Think about it. Somebody who does not have a wife, are they pretty freed up to devote a lot of time, effort, energy, and money to serving Jesus Christ? They're more freed up than a married guy. What's the need? For people to be like Paul, devoting their time, effort, energy, and talent to serving Jesus Christ. That's what he means. Even those who have wives ought to be devoted to serving Christ. What about those who weep? See where he says that? Verse 30, those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who weep is talking about Christians who have had bad circumstances. And it's hurt them. But they're weeping. Their bad circumstances, their deep hurt is keeping them from serving Christ. They need to be like those who don't weep. They need to get over it. Listen, and I say this to some of you, maybe you've been hurt, maybe you've been burned, and that's kept you from serving Christ. You know what? The present need is for you to get over whatever has happened in your past and get on with serving Christ. The need is for those who are weeping to be as those who don't weep and serve Christ. What about those who rejoice? Oh, these are the people, everything's great and life is just a party, a celebration. Things are so good. Business is going great. I'm making money right and left. And you know what? Those who are rejoicing over their good circumstances need to be as those who don't rejoice. You know what? Good circumstances or bad ones, happy ones or sad ones, either way, that can keep you from serving Jesus. But the present distress, man, there's such a need for Christians who would serve Christ regardless of their circumstances, regardless of the fact that they're married and have kids, regardless of the fact that everything's great or everything's terrible. The need is to keep on serving Jesus Christ in the midst of all that. That's the present distress. He says, let's see, verse 30, last line, those who buy as though they did not possess. Those who buy, that's all of us. We all buy stuff. The need is for people to be as though they don't possess. What's that? Not so consumed about caring for our stuff. Well, Pastor, I'd help out. You know, I'd help, but you know what? I need to wax my car this weekend. I thought you waxed it last weekend. Well, it got dirty. Well, could you help next weekend? No, next weekend we're going up to the mountains fishing. What about the next weekend? I'm going to have to wax my fishing rod. Okay, I see. But you know what? We can get a little bit like that. Those who buy need to be like people who don't possess. You know what? Hey, the car's dirty, but you know what? It's kids club time. It's Awana night. It's church. It's men's breakfast. It's whatever. Hey, that can wait. There are more important things than my things. And then he says, and those who use this world, that's all of us, as not misusing it, as not trying to use it to the max. Oh, I got to do everything. There's so much fun. There's so many new movies out. There's so many ways to entertain myself. I want to hit every amusement park in the country, and then I want to see every movie in every theater, and I want to snowboard down every slope in Colorado, and that's my bucket list. Oh, no. That is not the need. There are enough people trying to snowboard down every slope and climb every mountain. The present distress is for people who truly love Jesus Christ to serve Christ in the circumstances they're in. And the need is so great, Paul calls it the present distress. That's why it's good, Paul says, my judgment, it's good for a man to remain as he is. Don't try to change your circumstances. Think how to use your circumstances for the gospel. The present distress is that there are Christian men so wrapped up with their wives, they won't serve Jesus. Christian men who are still crying over what happened in the past, they won't serve Christ. Christian men and women so much celebrating life, they won't serve the Lord. Christian men and women who buy so many things that their possessions begin to possess them. Christians so interested in making maximum use of this world, they won't make use of their life to serve the Lord. But I want you to be without care, verse 32. That doesn't mean I want you to be careless. It's just I want you to be without so much care and concern for everything that's passing away. The form of this world is passing away. What does that mean? Imagine we all jump in the bus together and we take a drive through downtown. Okay, the form of the world is the form, the figure, the appearance, what you see, the world as we know it. So we all jump in a bus and we drive through downtown. Think of the kind of buildings we would see. Banks. Let banks represent the financial and economic form of this world. We would see the courthouse and the police station. Let those represent the legal and judicial form of this world. Businesses, we'd see malls and shops and stores and warehouses. Let that represent the commercial form of this world. You with me? We got financial, we got judicial, we got legal, we got commercial. You'd see government buildings. Let that represent the political form of this world. You'd see hospitals and doctor offices. You'd see health stores and vitamin stores. Let that represent the physical form of this world, where people get sick and die and are worried about health and nutrition and their weight and their bodies. You would see churches and synagogues and mosques. These represent the spiritual form of this world. Beloved, it's all right now in the process of passing away. When Jesus Christ comes, we look for the promise, which is a new heaven and a new earth. The Apostle John says it this way, 1 John 2:17, "This world is passing away, and the lusts of it, the strong desires." The Apostle Peter puts it this way, 2 Peter 3:10, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and its works will be burned up." This present world is passing away, and the time is short, and the present distress, the need, is for especially Christian young men and Christian young women who will devote their time, their talent, and their treasure to serving the Lord of heaven, rather than trying to make full use of this world, rather than trying to buy a bunch of things and letting their things possess them. The need is for young people who would serve Christ. That's one reason why Paul says, good for you to remain as you are. There's another reason, trouble in the flesh. Trouble in the flesh. What's that? Well, you know, you could make a list of all the things you run into in marriage, but I'm just going to give you one thing. Conflicting concerns. That's what he has in mind. Conflicting concerns. Verse 32. "I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares," or should, and by the way, young singles, he's telling you the way your life should look. "He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord," we hope, right? "How he may please the Lord." This is the way it should be for a young Christian man or a young Christian woman, concerned about pleasing the Lord. "But," he says, verse 33, "he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife." Do I hear an amen? Do I hear that's true? It is true. I was sitting with Brother Drew in the Northside McDonald's. You know, I met with him for probably a year and a half, every Monday afternoon at 3:30 at McDonald's for discipleship. And I'll never forget, this was probably 2 years ago, and the guys had come from Grace Bible Church talking about the Philippines. You know, they've come since then, but they came that year, 2 years ago, said, "We want to see if there's anybody interested in going on a short-term mission trip." I got to keep from laughing. So Drew and I are sitting there, and I said, "Hey, I want to talk to you about the possibility of going on a short-term mission trip to the Philippines." And Drew goes, "I'll go." I said, you don't have to call your wife? You haven't even asked how much it costs. "Oh, well, I don't care." "Well, you haven't even asked how long it's going to take." I don't know. I just take off." And for a minute, I was pretty envious. I was like, "Man, you don't even have to ask for wifey permission." Now then I got home and I got a nice hug and a hot meal and I was no longer envious of Drew. But listen, it's true. If you are a Christian single, you are more freed up. That if your concern is about the Lord and pleasing Him, you can go on a short-term mission trip. You can go overseas. You can pitch in at the church. You can be investing your evenings and your weekends. You are freed up. But if you get married, there will be this conflict of concerns where you might say, or your wife who maybe is more godly than you might say, honey, I think we should give more to this missionary. Or I think we should go do this. Or I think we should go do that. And you or she is like, well, that's going to take time, or that's going to cost money. Or, and now suddenly you have conflict of interests. And Paul says, I think it's good for you to remain as you are. If you get married, you'll have trouble in the flesh, trouble caused by conflicting cares or conflicting levels of care. And I'm just telling you, you're going to have some trouble. By the way, it's exactly the same for a woman, verse 34. There's a difference between a wife and a virgin. In other words, there's a difference between a Christian woman who's married and a Christian woman who isn't married. Well, what's the difference? Freedom. That's what he says. The unmarried woman, and this is the way it should be for young Christian single woman, she cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy in body and in spirit. That's great. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. The husband might be interested, come on, why can't we go watch the football games? Let's go up to Denver on Sundays. Why do we have to stick around here for church? Or whatever. I want to go fishing. I want to go camping. I want to go hunting. Oh, please don't leave today saying the pastor is against hunting, fishing, and camping. I like all three. I'm simply saying that in the marriage there will be conflicting desires. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to speak for my fellow elders, but anybody who's been an elder has faced this. Because an elder automatically takes a little more time, a little more effort, a little more investment, a little more energy. We are blessed that we have elders' wives, all three of them, who really support us in that. I've never heard Dan or Jerry say, you know, would you just stop being an elder in the church? It takes so much time. I can't stand that you're an elder in the church. It's the opposite. I see them encouraging their husbands. My wife encourages me. She never says, I wish you'd stop being a pastor. Why do we have to live this pastor's life? But Paul's judgment. Good to remain as you are. Serve Jesus in the circumstances you're in. Here's why. The present distress, the need there is for Christian young people to serve Christ in their current circumstances, and trouble in the flesh, which you have when you get married and you have conflicting desires, conflicting cares. Third truth. We're almost done. Each Christian single, must come to his or her own conviction before the Lord, considering his or her specific situation. Each Christian single, man or woman, must come to his or her own conviction, considering his or her own specific situation. That is basically Romans 14:5 applied, and Paul gives us two cases, verses 36 through 38. Verses 36 through 38, Paul has not changed topics here. He's still talking about Christian singles. Verse 36, but if any man, talking about a Christian single man, if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, what is this talking about? Christian guy who has a Christian gal. And the language here in the original is quite a bit stronger than the English. It's basically, if any man is thinking to behave unseemly, indecently, rudely, he's very attracted. Very attracted. And he's been thinking about doing what's unseemly, what he should not do. If any man thinks of behaving unseemly, improperly toward his virgin. And then it says, and he explains now. Now in my New King James says, if she is past the flower of youth. It doesn't say that. And every commentator you read will tell you it doesn't say that. There is no word she, there is no word her, and there's no word flower, and there's no word youth. There's actually one word. And the word means to be beyond the culminating point. And you don't know whether the subject is he or she, but you really do because he just said, If any man, he's talking about the guy here, if any man is thinking to behave improperly towards his virgin, if he's past the breaking point, let me give you a few other translations, NIV, if his passions are too strong, New Living Translation, if he thinks he will inevitably give in to his passion, English Standard Version, if his passions are too strong and it must be, International Standard Version, if his passion is so strong he feels like he has to get married. Are you getting the picture here? This guy I can understand. This is the case of the eager beaver. This is the case of the anxious Andy. That was me, man. My parents would tell you I had girlfriends from kindergarten up. I was never without a girl that I had a crush on. And I told Denise the other day, I said, not only that, I can tell you all their names. Ellen Replogle, Jenny Shantz. And my parents would tell you their names. Who knows where they're at now? I married the best of them all. Praise the Lord. I couldn't wait to get married. I got married as soon as I possibly could after college. I have a certain son in the second row who the soonest he can possibly get married is the day after he graduates from the Air Force Academy, which would be May 29th. I'll let you do the math and guess which day he's getting married. And Paul says, listen, this is case scenario number one. If any man is thinking of behaving improperly toward his virgin, if he's past the culminating point, and thus it must be, or it really ought to be, hey, do not stand in his way. Let him do what he wishes. He doesn't sin. Let them marry. That's the guy I can relate to. The next guy, and I've seen guys like this, I cannot relate to them. But they're out there. Christian guys, I call them the cool cucumber. Nevertheless, verse 37, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, same word we saw, no distress, he's fine, single. He's fine, unattached. He's playing the field, whatever. Now, he's a virgin. Okay, this is talking about somebody's keeping himself sexually pure. He has no need. Wow. Steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, has power over his own will, or the word may be desire. He's got power. He's in control of himself. He has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin. What does that mean? Well, it's hard to know exactly. I think it means keep his virgin a virgin. He's not going to give in to desire. He's not going to get married. He's going to keep her a virgin a while longer. In other words, he's not getting married yet. He doesn't need to get married yet. He doesn't want to get married yet. Hey, he wants to be single. Paul says, well, what about him? He does well. Well, then they both do good. Yeah. Next verse, verse 38. So then, now it says, he who gives her in marriage. That sounds like a dad with a virgin daughter. That's not the case. Okay? So then, he who gives in to marriage, or he who marries, the one who marries his virgin, all right, he does well. The one who does not marry does better. Why? Two reasons. The present distress, the need for a Christian man to just keep on serving Jesus in his current circumstances, and trouble in the flesh, the trouble he knows he's going to have if he gets married. He does even better. So is either one sinning if they eventually get married? Nope, you already said that. It's not an issue between moral and immoral. It's an issue between good and better. This is Christian liberty. Now, fourth truth. And this one is very important for all of us, married or unmarried, single or not, okay? Marriage is a commitment for life. Marriage is a commitment for life. You better make this decision seriously. You better not rush into this one. Marriage is for life. Marriage is till death do us part. Verses 39 and 40. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. That's just a statement of fact. That says marriage is for life. We looked earlier. Paul, Christ, the Bible never encourages divorce. It's a lifelong commitment. Two shall become one flesh. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. But if her husband dies, then she's at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she's happier if she remains as she is, serving Christ in her current circumstances, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. Indeed, he does. It's the Spirit of God who speaks here through Paul concerning virgins or Christian singles. He wants them to know marriage is a major commitment, serious commitment. And because of that, he's given a long judgment here. And we have looked at four truths that apply to all of us, but young Christian single, they very much apply first and foremost to you. First, to marry or not to marry, that is a matter of Christian liberty. Second, good for a man to remain as he is, serving Jesus in his current circumstances, not trying to change the circumstances. Why? Present need for just that kind of person who will serve Jesus in his current circumstances, because the world is passing away and the time is short. Second reason, trouble in the flesh. You get married, you're going to face conflicts in cares and concerns, conflicts in desires. Third truth, each Christian single needs to come or to his or her own conviction before the Lord, looking at his or her current situation. Maybe you need to get married. Well, then get married. Maybe you don't need to get married. Then don't get married. And marriage is for life. But I told you there'd be a handful of truths. So there's one more. Isn't God good? He is. In love for Christian singles, he's giving wisdom. And in love for the church, he's giving wisdom so that we'll all be on the same page. That's good. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your wisdom, which is pure and perfect. I pray for our Christian singles that they would keep themselves pure, that they would follow your wisdom, take marriage seriously, and that you would guide each one to come to a firm conviction before you. And may we love and support each one in Christ's name. Amen.